The other half of you asked for it, and now you've got it. That's right, the smooth jazz edition of the Mad Money Machine. Coming right up on show number 11, we'll have lots of fun investment topics like we usually do, starting with Guru Roulette. But first, a disclaimer. This show doesn't provide any investment advice. I'm really just telling you what other people have said. Do your own homework before spending any money. I have replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, then for the selected guru, give a little background on their investment philosophy and try to pick a stock or investment that matches it. The winner this time on Mad Money Machine show number 11 is golfer turned businessman Greg Norman. Greg Norman has won 88 tournaments over his 30-year pro golf career, but in the business arena, Norman has achieved a level of success matched by few other golfers. He's the head of Great White Shark Enterprises Incorporated, and he presides over a sprawling empire that spans everything from golf course design to winemaking to turf grass. As a young tour pro, he showed little interest in business matters, said he was bored rigid by the plotting and planning he paid others to do. He only took interest after a couple of deals went awry. As he began to win tournaments, he admits he paid a price for not paying closer attention to how other people handled his affairs. He says, "Typical athlete, I got flummoxed over by my agent and found myself in trouble with the Australian Taxation Office. But I learned an important lesson. Take control over your own money, your own destiny." In 1990, Cobra Golf offered Greg Norman shares of stock and Australian distribution rights to the new company's products in return for his use and endorsement of Cobra equipment. Norman accepted the offer, and after the company went public, he sold 450,000 Cobra shares for $12 million. Norman received an additional $30 million from the sale of his remaining Cobra Golf shares when American Brands, now called Fortune Brands, acquired Cobra in 1996. Greg Norman's lesson number 96 is, don't be a sucker. He says, "I'm an aggressive golfer. I like to take chances, but I'm not a fool. There are certain shots I do not try. I don't go for sucker pins. A sucker pin is a flagstick that is positioned perilously close to a bunker, a water hazard, out of bounds, a steep drop off, or any area of extremely heavy rough. If you have a fade or slice, then any pin on the left side of a green is a sucker. Going for these pins is foolish because if you miss them by a little, you can put yourself into major trouble. The risk far outweighs the reward. Make note of the sucker pins on your home course, and when you come to one, give it a wide berth. Sometimes that may even mean laying up short of the green, but you shouldn't be ashamed to do it, because Ben Hogan, the most accurate ball striker of his time, was famous for such a strategy." We're going to continue talking about risk and golf on this show. But for now, that's our guru for show number 11, Greg Norman. The New Money segment is where we go over some fundamentals of investing, and the segment is good for new investors, kids, and as a review for experienced investors. This time we talk about risk. What is risk, and what are the different types of risk? Risk is the chance that your investment's actual return will be different from what you expected. This includes the possibility of losing some or all of your original investment. It is usually measured by calculating the standard deviation of the historical returns or average returns of a specific investment. A fundamental idea in finance is the relationship between risk and return. The greater the amount of risk that an investor is willing to take on, the greater the potential return. The reason for this is that investors need to be compensated for taking on additional risk. This is often called the risk premium. The risk premium is the return in excess of the risk-free rate of return that an investment is expected to yield. An asset's risk premium is a form of compensation for investors who tolerate that extra risk, compared to that of a risk-free asset in a given investment. There are different types of risk, such as political risk, country risk, and liquidity risk. Political risk, for example, is the financial risk that a company's government will suddenly change its policies. Liquidity risk is the risk stemming from the lack of marketability of an investment that cannot be bought or sold quickly enough to prevent or minimize a loss. The risk-return trade-off is the principle that potential return rises with increase in risk. Low levels of uncertainty, or low risk, are associated with low potential returns, whereas high levels of uncertainty, high risk, are associated with high potential returns. In other words, the risk-return trade-off says that invested money can render higher profits only if it is subjected to the possibility of being lost. Because of the risk-return trade-off, you've got to be aware of your potential risk tolerance when you choose investments for your portfolio. Taking on some risk is the price of achieving returns. Therefore, if you want to make money, you can't cut out all risk. The goal instead is to find an appropriate balance, one that generates some profit, but still allows you to sleep at night. And that brings us to this week's tool in the crib. The tool this time helps your portfolio tee off straighter and farther than ever before. It comes to you from riskgrades.com, and it's a benchmark for measuring financial risk. On their website, they say a risk grade measure is an open and transparent benchmark to measure the risk of the world's financial assets. It can be stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, even bonds, stock options, and cash. On their website, they allow you to create your own portfolio of your mixture of stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs, and then get a risk grade measure of your portfolio. A risk grade measure allows for a comparison of investments across all asset classes, regions, and currencies. It varies over time to reflect asset-specific information, such as the price of a stock, reacting to an earnings release, or general market conditions. And it operates differently from traditional risk measures such as beta, standard deviation, and average shortfall. How do they calculate a risk grade measure? They say it's a two-step process. First, they calculate how much variation there is in the asset's price, making the most recent history more important than outdated observations. Second, they compare the asset's volatility to the volatility of a basket of global equities. The ratio of these volatilities results in a risk grade measure. The risk grade measure can vary from zero for cash to values well in excess of 1,000 for highly speculative investments. I have put the two portfolios in the portfolio smackdown in the risk grade site and tested and see what we come up with. I'll talk a little bit later in this show about the portfolio smackdown, but those of you who've been with the show know what I'm talking about. You can go out to the maddymoneymachine.com/portfolios website to see the details of these two portfolios. In the ETF portfolio, the risk grade came out at 56, which suggests a balanced plan investment strategy. It said diversification benefits have lowered this portfolio's risk by 13%. And the portfolio is 1.22 times as volatile as the S&P 500 index. The Cramer portfolio, on the other hand, the one stock Crox, CROX, was too new to be added to the portfolio, so I kept in PMTI, Palomar Medical Technologies, in there. It said the portfolio's risk grade of 82 suggests a growth plan investment strategy, and that diversification benefits have lowered this portfolio's risk by 50%. Portfolio is the 1.78 times as volatile as the S&P 500 index. Well, you can go out to riskgrades.com and put in your own portfolio and see what kind of risk grade you get on your investments. By the way, the site works a little bit better in Internet Explorer than it does in the Firefox browser. So are you being compensated for the amount of risk you're taking? Go out to riskgrades.com and find out. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money. Now give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
My name is Paul. I was a golfer. This is my story. I picked up golf in a big way in April of 1999. I've done everything I set out to do in golf. I got the nice equipment, Ping irons, Odyssey putter, Titleist Pro V1 golf balls. I bought a home on a golf course. I became the president of the company golf league. I shot rounds of par. I won a tournament. I played Pinehurst number 2. I got 2 eagles, and I got a hole in one. Then on September 23rd, 2003, I laid down the clubs and walked away. You could say I retired at the top of my game, or you could say my obsession fizzled out and I moved on to the next thing. Say what you will, I've only played a handful of rounds since then. I might pick up the sticks again in the next few years, depending on how much my son gets obsessed by the game. Or I may pick it up again when I realize just how little exercise I'm getting sitting behind this computer keyboard. My name is Paul, and I was a golfer. Welcome to the 84th Annual Mad Money Machine Match Play Golf Classic. Hello, I'm Buffett Warrington. Glad you could join us on this beautiful day in the lovely Cotswolds, Hertfordshire, New Wellesham, England. We're here at the final round in what should prove to be a classic matchup. I'm joined in the broadcast booth by our very own Graham Benjaminson. What's the deal with all these birds? Graham, tell us about this matchup.
Thank you very much, Buffett. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you here in Cotswolds, Hertfordshire, New Wellesham. This contest features two very opposite types of players. The James Cramer portfolio hits long off the tee, but is often quite erratic. He displays a sort of creative versatility. He can get it to the hole from just about anywhere on the course. He'll be facing an opponent in the ETF portfolio who doesn't have nearly the length off the tee, but by gosh, Buffett, does he ever hit it straight down the center.
Yes, he does, Graham. Well, after the first hole, the Cramer portfolio leads by 1, and he'll be first off the tee here at the second. Graham, tell us about this second hole.
This second hole is a par 5 double dogleg left into an island green. It's widely considered to be the toughest hole in all of golf. Bordered everywhere by tall trees, players must place their tee shots down the throat of the fairway in perfect position to have even the slightest chance of getting around that second dogleg, Buffett.
The Cramer portfolio is on the tee. Graham, in his bag, what stick of stocks does he carry to a match like this? And I understand that's a 4-degree driver?
Yes, by far the most aggressive club in any player's bag on the tour. His longest club, that 4-degree driver, has hit it 30% off the tee. It's Seagate technology, the symbol STX engraved on the sole. His 3-wood is the Votorandum Cellulose, VCP, hitting at 22%. Rounding out the woods in his bag is Bank Columbia CIB at 14%. From there, the Cramer portfolio skips over the long irons completely into 2 medium irons with City Trends, CTRN, at a paltry 3%, Packard, PCAR, at 2%. All the rest of his clubs in the bag, Buffett, are rusty old putters that I think he'd do better breaking them over his knee. Talisman Energy, TLM, has hit it backwards 1.4%. Altria, MO, is smoldering down 2.7%. Crocs, CROX, is a croc, down 2%. National Oil Well Varco, NOV, is in the hole 4.6%. And like a sopping wet sponge cake, Sara Lee, SLE, down 5%. Just goes to show you, Buffett, that if you can hit them super long, the putting may not matter at all.
That sounds like a nice set of stocks. The Kramer portfolio is ready to hit.
Oh my golly, Graham, that ball is long, but veering right. Veering right, is he going to be okay there?
Buffett, the Kramer portfolio has hit it 7.7% from the tee. That is an excellent distance this early in the match. He's left himself a further route to the hole from there, but with his length, he shouldn't have much of a problem. And now the ETF portfolio steps up to the tee. Graham, this guy is so consistent. He's always in contention, but never seems to win big. What's he got to do to get that trophy?
That's right, Buffett. The ETF portfolio is actually one of the tour's money leaders over the past few years, when everything is said and done, when all the dots and dashes and ticks and tots are added up and whatnot. He's such a consistent player, never missing a cut, but always also never having his name etched ever so deeply on any tournament's trophy. Truly the best player, never to win, Buffett.
The ETF portfolio's up next. Graham, he's taken a 3-iron out of his bag to hit on this long par 5. What's the strategy behind that?
Well, as I mentioned, the ETF portfolio is the most consistent player on the tour. Always straight, always right there. His strategy is basically to never get into any big trouble. And if he can do that, he believes he's got the best chance out there on this circuit.
What's he got in the bag?
Strangely, he doesn't carry any woods or utility clubs. Everything is a medium to long iron, Buffett. Rather boring. Yet the results speak for themselves. He hits the Vanguard Emerging Market ETF, VWO, 11% from the tee, followed closely by the REIT at 10%, then the small cap and the micro funds at 9% each. Who can quibble with that after only the second hole?
The ETF portfolio is ready to hit.
It's a beautiful floating shot, straight as a gun barrel down the fairway, and the distance is respectable, Graham. What are his chances from there?
He's left himself in perfect position, Buffett, at 6.9% from the tee. It was just a glorious, magnificent shot. It came down ever so gently and rolling, rolling, rolling on the soft, velvety greenness of this supremely manicured...
Okay, Graham, okay. So our leader here at the Mad Money Machine Match Play Classic is the Jim Cramer portfolio at 7.7% over the ETF portfolio at 6.9%. What's this?
I'm just getting word, Graham, that the Kramer portfolio has taken a penalty and will be assessed a 0.3% deduction from his score.
Due to what, Graham?
It seems the Kramer portfolio has tried to make a shortcut through the dogleg and has taken some short-term capital gains. He'll be taxed an extra 16% or so on those, thus the 0.3% deduction overall.
Well, as long as he has the length, I suppose he can afford it. That gives the Kramer portfolio a slight lead at 7.4% over the ETF portfolio at 6.9%. But we still have 15 holes left. We'll be back at the Mad Money Machine Match Play Classic in a moment. First, a word from our sponsor.
This broadcast is sponsored by Bumble's Biscuits. For the very finest recipe of refined white flour, cane sugar, salt, and partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. Bumble's Biscuits. Buy them by the bag or by the pallet for your pallet.
You can see all the scores at madmoneymachine.com/portfolio. For Graham Benjaminson, this is Buffett Warrington saying so long, everybody. I'd like to make a new promo for the Mad Money Machine, and I'd like for you to be a part. I want the promo to sound something like this. Hi, this is Paul from Virginia, and I listen to the Mad Money Machine. And you can replace the words listen to, and of course your name, with anything you like, such as, hi, I'm Paul, and I can't stand wasting my download bandwidth with the Mad Money Machine. Or, hi, I'm Paul from Virginia, and I made two nickels by listening to the Mad Money Machine. If you're the one person that sends me audio feedback, then you'll be the one I use in the promo. If I get a couple, I might mash them up together into something wonderful. How do you get it to me? Well, if you're technologically savvy, you can record it as an audio file and then either upload it to a server somewhere and email it to me, or email it to me as an audio file attachment at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. Or if you have Skype, you can leave a voicemail at Mad Money Machine. Or if you have a telephone, you can leave a voicemail at 206-734-4763. That works out to be 20 MP3 for iPod. 20 MP3 for iPod on your touch tone dialing. Now, I know lots of you basically have free long distance, but even if you don't, it wouldn't cost too much to leave a 30-second audio clip, now would it? What does Jim Cramer think about golf stocks? I don't think he likes them very much. There's been no mention of Aldila, ALDA, which is a graphite golf shaft manufacturer. They've done pretty well recently. No mention of Ashworth, ASHW, the maker of golf apparel. They haven't done so well recently. There has been mention of Callaway Golf, symbol ELY. January 30th, he said, sell. And there's been a mention of Fortune Brands, which we heard earlier owns Cobra Golf and Titleist Golf as well. On February 13th, he said, buy it. But of course, we know Jim likes bowling a whole lot better than golf anyway. Get you updated on a little mashup that I've been trying to do between two very different styles of stock picking. The Investor's Business Daily 100 stocks, which are very much momentum oriented, and the Magic Formula Investing.com stocks, which are very much value oriented. Well, I did a mashup between two of these, and I came up with a couple of stocks that did indeed match. When you go to MagicFormulaInvesting.com, this is you can read more about it in The Little Book That Beats the Market by Joel Greenblatt. When you put in market cap of over $50 million, that's the minimum, you come up with Cavco Industries, CVCO. It came in at number 37 on the IBD Top 100. It says analysts expect the manufactured home firm to turn in flat earnings per share in fiscal quarter four. It manufactures single, multi-sectional, manufactured homes, sold via 338 independent and 11 company-owned outlets in 14 states. But it's thinly traded. Then when you put in the MagicFormulaInvesting.com, put in a market cap of over $1 billion, you hit a match with W&T Offshore Incorporated, WTI. That one came in at number 82 on the IBD 100. Says it reports fourth quarter results on March 16th. Consensus estimate is 62 cents, up 142%. It's engaged in the exploration and production of oil and gas, primarily in the Gulf of Mexico. It's 23% past its $32.53 buy point after heavy volume downside reversal, according to the IBD. Now, there's a couple other really interesting stocks that are on the MagicFormulaInvesting.com's over $1 billion market cap page. Microsoft and Intel. So you might check out these two stocks that hit the mashup, Cavco Industries, CVCO, and W&T Offshore, WTI. I encourage you to go out to the MadMoneyMachine.com website. There you can see more information about our guru selection of this show and every show under the Gurus tab. You can find out the link to the tool in the crib that we had this time, riskgrades.com. And you can find out every day how the portfolio smackdown, in this case the Mad Money Machine Match Play Classic, is coming along, because I update that every evening with the latest prices on the two portfolios. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. Stay subscribed. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, TheStreet.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of this program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.